Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
Most gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity once again to be in your house. Father, we thank you for your love. Father, we thank you for your grace. And Father, be with us this evening. Father, as we as men know nothing and have nothing to say, but Father, as we surrender our mind, our hearts, and our thoughts over to you, yielding our vessels, that we decrease, that you increase, Father. Speak, utilize this vessel, Lord, to speak to your children, to encourage, exhort, and edify. We love you and thank you with a great expectation of you, Almighty God. In the wonderful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Young, be seated. Did you come to church tonight with a hunger, with an expectation in your heart? You know, when we go to a restaurant, we usually wouldn't bother going to a restaurant unless we had an appetite. You know, if you think about that, you know, it's like if you're filled up, you're not going to pull into the restaurant. You're not going to go in and sit in the restaurant. And you know, when we come to the house of God, this is the way we need to think. If we're filled up on the cares of the world, the love of the world, and the pride of life, and the business, and all the things of this world, and we come to church, then we're so filled up that we would never be able to receive the Word of God. Amen. But the Bible teaches us that we have to come with a hunger and a thirst after righteousness, and He promises that He will fulfill. And that's what we have to do, is come in that way. I want you to turn with me over to 1 Thessalonians. While you're turning over to 1 Thessalonians, we'll go to about the first chapter there. We had a successful little trip on Sunday and Monday. We picked up the equipment. We went after the Lord really blessed us. I think you know that we purchased two pieces of equipment. I went and picked up one in Ohio. And I called the man who was testifying the Lord and purchasing his equipment. And he said, "You must not be much of a Christian because you're a thief." And I thought, wow. And he said, "Well, you know, you stole this thing." He said, "One of these just sold for $3,200 last week, and you bought this one for $210. And I said, "I didn't steal it. It's just the blessings of the Lord. Amen." And he was just being lighthearted a little bit with me. But the Lord's blessing us. My wife made a comment there the other day. She said, "You know, it looks like God has really honored everything that we've put our hand to." If you remember back on New Year's night, you know, I said, you know, people make resolutions, you know, and most of the time people get together and that's the night they lie to one another. You know, "Yeah, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that." And it never comes to pass. But the Bible says we're better off not to vow than to make a vow and not do it. And the thing is I stood before you and I said, well, my intentions were to get this printing operation going. So we've seen some productivity out of it. We've sent 4,000 books to Bethlehem. So that's some productivity, and we got some things working and rolling. Very encouraged of that. But this again is fulfilling, trying to get these equipment together that we could do more for the kingdom of God and for the Lord. The Bible said that He says, "My people perish without a vision," and we have to have a vision to do something for God. You know, when it's all said and done and your life's over, it's like a vapor and a mist. It's here for a moment and then it's gone. And when it's all said and done, it doesn't matter what you've done in the way of empires, business. It doesn't matter if you have $1 billion to leave for your family to squander it or whatever. None of that matters. The only thing that matters, brothers and sisters, when it's all said and done, when it gets right down to the end, is what have you done for the kingdom of God? Have you sown into the kingdom where rust, moth, and decay cannot take it? Have you labored that you had to give into the kingdom of God? Have you given your life as a living sacrifice into the kingdom of God? That's your reasonable service. That's what's expected of you. You know, so oftentimes we have this God and we think, well, you know, Jesus is just there with His arms folded and just patiently waiting on us, you know, to just say, "Okay, here I am, Lord." And we give our life to the vain jingles of this world, to the wiles of the devil. And we just live lasciviously or foolishly through life. And, you know, well, He's just there waiting for me to say, "Okay, Lord, here I am, I surrender." Boy, however, so foolish. His Spirit doesn't always strive with man. And no man comes to the Father lest His Spirit draws. So there are conditions, you know, and the churches don't teach that. You know, they teach us God that He's just there waiting for you to spit in His face some more and pluck His beard some more and do that. And it talks about His blood being trampled under feet in this present day and hour. But it's different than that, brothers and sisters. We need to seek after a living God, and we need to know Him in a present day truth. And we need to worship Him and give all to Him. As I say so oftentimes in the Scripture says, it's whoever you yield your members to or who you are of. If you yield your members to the love and the cares of this world, then you're of the world and your father's the devil. But if you would yield your members over to the Lord Jesus Christ, then He is your God, your Savior, and your salvation. Amen. And that's what we want to do. Okay, as we turn here to 1 Thessalonians, we'll read a little bit here in the first chapter. I'll just start at the first verse there. It says, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. Let's go back to verse 5 for a minute. It says, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost. You know, I could use an individual that come in fellowship with us here as an example of a man that had the word of God in word only, without the Holy Ghost. You see, brothers and sisters, you know, the Bible says the letter of this word, the letter of the law, it killeth, but it's the Spirit that brings life. And differentiating just for a moment of that as a thought, there's so many times we study the Bible. The Bible says study. This Bible teaches us that to be a workman who need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of God. And you know, we need to study the Bible. We need to understand the Word of God. But we need to have a personal relationship with the Word. We need to be filled with the Word, and not to the letter of this Word, but to the Spirit of this Word. You know, so oftentimes, it's like even the Bible says, speaking of the Pharisees, it says, don't do as they do, but do as they say. They have the right thing to say unto you, but they don't have the deeds. Their deeds are not there, but the things they say is right. But so oftentimes, brothers and sisters, people can't hear what you say, or I could say what we say, because they see the deeds in our life as differently than what we're speaking. Sometimes we find disappointments in walk and disappointments in our life, and we find disappointments because we don't feel that our words are carrying the authority or the power when we speak. But you see, if I use the seven sons of Sceva as an example, when they said, I adjure you, Satan, in the name of Jesus Christ. Hey, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? You see, there was the right application of the word. The word was spoken in a proper way. But there wasn't no power of the word in that perspective. And these seven sons found themselves beaten and stripped of their garment or clothing. And they found themselves in a naked condition, which spiritually speaking shows them without the wedding garment. It shows them without God's Spirit. So we see an allegory there, but we also need to understand that so oftentimes people have the right things to say, but the Bible says they confess me with their mouth, but their heart is far from me. How oftentimes is it that the preachers have altar calls and say, you know, is there any lost out there? You know, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, come forward, please, into the church. And we're going to pray with you. I want you to repeat this prayer with me. You confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Confess with your mouth and believe in your heart and thou shalt be saved. See, we got Bible for that. But is everybody that comes in and they say, oh, Jesus, forgive me of my sins, are they saved? No. If you're foolish enough to believe that everybody that comes into its altars and says a sinner prayer leaves saved, you just don't have your eyes opened. And there's much deception in you. And you're in religious games more so than into understanding God. All we have to do is look. The Bible says that man's heart is continually evil and wicked, and a man doesn't even know his own heart. And the Bible says to confess with your mouth and to believe in your heart, but a man doesn't even know his own heart. So there's a big valley right there when someone comes in. Sometimes they're under the convicting power of God. Sometimes they'll come in and say these prayers, and they'll do these things, and they leave. You know, hey, I'm a member of a church now. Hey, I've accepted Jesus as my Savior. That's a wonderful thing. I would never find fault with that. But the thing is, are they truly saved? It's ye that endure to the end that are saved, according to the Bible and the Scriptures. So the thing is we really can't say because they said this prayer they're saved. We read right here that this gospel didn't come with word only, but with the power of the Holy Ghost. So then we go over to the Pentecostal realms for a moment of thought. Oh, I know the power of the Holy Ghost is when the Spirit of God pours on you and you speak in tongues. Boy, that's the infilling of the power. Well, I tell you, brothers and sisters, I appreciate the infilling of the Holy Ghost and the power. I appreciate the gifts of God, speaking in tongues, interpretations of tongues. I appreciate the healing and miracles and discerning of spirits. I appreciate faith. I appreciate the gifts of God. But brothers and sisters, there's more to the power of God than just speaking in tongues. If there's so much power in speaking in an unknown language, let's all go take Spanish at college tomorrow night. Let's all go over and take Latin or whatever. You know, if there's some kind of a power that we're going to receive. Now, I'm not lightly esteeming the gifts of God. Don't misunderstand me here. I think it's wonderful that when you receive the infilling of the power of God, I think it's wonderful when you receive the gifts of God and you may prophesy or speak in tongues, or you may work in a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom. I think that's wonderful to have the gifts of God utilized in your life. But that's not the vindication of being full of the Holy Ghost. This is a misconcept in our Pentecostal churches. I'm a Pentecostal minister. You know, people think, well, wait a minute, you're against the Pentecostals. No, I'm a Pentecostal preacher. But I'm saying there is a misconcept of the scriptures and the word in our Pentecostal realms. There's a misconcept in our Baptist churches. You know, and I came through the Baptist church. I gave my heart to Jesus Christ in baptism. I'm thankful for the doctrine and pushing the way they push salvation and a need to say the sinner's prayer. I appreciate that. But you got to go farther than that. We got to go beyond that. It's not a matter of just receiving the seed. If we go to the parables and read in the scriptures about the parables, and you know, and talked about a seed, you know, it's not a question that the seed's going out. It's a question, what kind of condition is the ground in when it receives the seed? What kind of preparation has been done for the ground for the seed? Has the cares of the world and the things of this life, has it popped up in such a way that the seed came up and the cares of this world choked it out? Or did those fowl come in and steal the seed that laid on top of the ground because there was a hardness of your heart and it never really penetrated where it should be? These are all things we need to consider. The little tract that I wrote back there, the things I'm saying to consider being born again. Naturally speaking, there's many women seeking after to have a child. You see, there's more to having a child than the relationship, because there's many people that are in the marriage relationship, but they don't bring forth a child. Many complications. It could be a barren womb. It could be the man not having power in the seed, in the blood seed, to bring forth life. These are complications that happen. And there's complications in the spiritual realms. Sometimes it's not a matter of the minister. The minister will be bringing forth the power of the seed of God. The seed, the Bible said, that remaineth in you, that keepeth you from sin. The thing is that could be going forth, but there'll be people sitting in the congregation, and they're not receiving that word. And there's no fruit of that word. When a sower goes out and sows, he takes the seed and he sows it into the ground. And he puts the seed in the ground and it brings forth and yields forth a harvest or a crop. But if there's no fruit coming forth, then it was either a bad seed or the ground wasn't prepared right. And there's things that have to happen that we could bring forth the fruit of the Spirit in our life. Brothers and sisters, we're living in a generation and in a day and a time that everybody's confessing Jesus Christ as their Lord, their God, and their Savior. The homosexuals in sodomy, when the world was destroyed at one particular time because of that kind of lifestyle, and they're standing before the people of our country in America and professing Christianity and saying that they are saved. That's an abomination in God. A homosexual cannot have salvation. He cannot be born again in his sin. He's got to come out of it. The Bible said to come out of the world. If you're a drunkard, you got to come out of drunkardness. If you're an adulterer or fornicator or an infidel, whatever it is, brothers and sisters, salvation is coming out of those things. And the churches in America are offering salvation in sin, and salvation brings you out of sin. We have to understand that. Oh, but God's love, He is love. He's also angry with the wicked and pursuing him off the face of the earth, the Bible says. You see, we got to understand God as we started out the service this evening speaking. You know, we know of our natural fathers that loves us. And if we only know him that every time we come home, here, son, here's a buck, here's a couple bucks, go get you a candy bar, go get you a soda pop, go do this, go do that. And that's the only way we know him. See, our father's out of balance. When we don't do what is required of us, then our father has to offer discipline, or you're a bastard child without a father. If you're not chastened by your heavenly father, then you're bastard children, and you don't have a heavenly father. That's the scriptures, brothers and sisters. This is what we have to know and understand and comprehend. And he does chasten us because he loves us. And we have to know him in that. But you see, the message of this generation and of this day, you see, brothers and sisters, is a message that Jesus is love and he loves everybody and everything. But he said, Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. That's what the Lord said. Oh, but Brother Rob, how God doesn't hate. Well, you need to read the scriptures. That's what he says. He hated this individual before they was ever born, was still in the womb. You see, there's a predestination and a foreknowledge of God. You see, brothers and sisters, he loved the world so much that he gave his life. He said he gave his only begotten son. That's how much love he had for the world. But brothers and sisters, the world has got to accept that grace, and they've got to take advantage of the grace to make the changes. The grace of God is not that we can continue to walk in lasciviousness. The grace of God is not that we can walk in sin. The grace of God is not for that. We take it not to the advantage to the flesh. We take the grace of God to the occasion of the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit. He commands us to walk in the Spirit, to see in the Spirit, to pray in the Spirit. You see, brothers, see, that's what is expected of us when we are blood-bought, born-again children of God, because we're birthed of the Spirit. And when you're born into the Spirit, you see in the Spirit, you walk in the Spirit, and you sing in the Spirit. Everything you do is fellowshipping in the Spirit. You cannot fellowship Him in the flesh, because He is Spirit and He's in the Spirit. So the thing is you got to make yourself twain, both Lord and Christ. You got to make yourself twain, both Son of Man and Son of God. You were born as a natural individual from your father and your mother. When you took your first breath in your innocency of life as a little child, you was a sinner, because all were born into sin with the sins of death and appointed unto man to die. It didn't matter. That's what you were born into, the Adamic nature of a fallen man. That's what you were born into, but thanks be to the Lord Jesus that He came and died and gave His life that you could have life and life more abundantly. He came and gave His life that you could have life. But when He gave His life and shed His blood, He did not shed His blood for your willful sin. He did not shed His blood that you could continue on in sin. Read it in Romans 6. He said, you know, that grace that much more abounds when sin. And He said, do we continue on in sin? He said, God forbid. And this is a misconcept again of religion. Oh, you know, I've got this, you know, the Bible says we have an advocate with the Father when we sin, that He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin. Yes, but does it forgive willful sin? No, it does not. Just go read Hebrews 6 and Hebrews 10. It's very clear that once you've tasted of this world to come and been enlightened, brothers and sisters, what does enlightened mean? It means that you've come to an understanding, an enlightenment, an understanding of God's Word. And He's given us the power, as we just read here, just not in word only, brothers and sisters, it's the power of the Holy Ghost. What is the power of the Holy Ghost for? The power of the Holy Ghost is to come out of the world and to be a separate people. The power, brothers and sisters, to put the scorpions and the serpents under your feet, these demons and principalities and powers. We have all authority over them. We are inexcusable, the Bible says. We can't continue on in sin. We can't continue on with the love of the world and the things of the world. They say, well, God doesn't look on the outward part of man. He only looks upon the heart. What a bunch of lying foolishness. Who's been telling you that kind of foolishness? The Bible said to present your body, soul, and spirit. Why would it say if He doesn't look on the outward part of man? Why would He say to present your body if He didn't look at it? You see, we got to present our body, soul, and our spirit. So why would it say that? The Bible says women dress as becoming holiness. Why would He command a woman to out of dress if He wasn't commanding them to do so if He didn't look on the outward part? Then why do we send preachers into the world to preach the gospel? It says to perfect the saints. Why would He send the preachers for the perfecting of the saints if He wasn't expecting something on the outward part? You see, brothers and sisters, there's so much doctrine of lies and doctrines of devils. The Bible said if they preach any other doctrine than what Jesus Christ or Brother Paul preached, what does it say? It said, let them be accursed. Oh, but God's love, and they're all our brothers and sisters. No, they're not. You know, brothers and sisters, we're supposed to be walking in the Spirit of God where we're not offended. You know, if you're easily offended, you're not where you need to be with God. I've had people come to me and say, you're nothing but of the devil. Well, I love you anyway. You get mad, there's something wrong with you. You know, I mean, they called Jesus a devil. They called Him a wine bibber. They called Him all kinds of things. And people, it said they hated Him first. They're going to hate you also. So if those things aren't happening to you, you're not walking where you're supposed to be walking with God. When you're walking full of the Holy Ghost and the power of God, people are not going to like you. If you are popular and everybody likes you, you're of the devil. Whoa. Come on, Brother Rob, you can't say that. Boy, now you really got us upset. I'm just going to have to stay with the Word of God. I'm called to preach the gospel. The Bible said they don't have anything good to say about you. And if they do, it said that the love of the Father's not in you. So I'm preaching the Bible, brothers and sisters. And when you're popular and everybody likes you, it's because you haven't brought the Spirit of God to them. Because when you bring the Spirit of the Word, they hated Him first and they're going to hate you also. They're going to persecute you according to the Scriptures. They're going to do all of these things, brothers and sisters. Why? Because you have His Spirit. The devil doesn't like Him. He hasn't never liked Him from the beginning. He's never liked Him. And He doesn't like you when you're full of Him. He hates you. And He wants to kill you. He's seeking who He can devour. And He came to kill, steal, and destroy. And He's going to do everything He can to kill you and destroy you when you're full of the Holy Ghost. But praise God for the power. The Word did not come just in word only. It came in the power and the demonstration of the Holy Ghost. And that's what we got to have. The power of the gospel dwelling in us. Have you been filled with the power of God? Have you been filled with the Holy Ghost that you can overcome the things and the cares of this world? You see, brothers and sisters, we got to get to a place that we're beyond offense. And we got to walk in the power of the gospel of God. And if you think that everybody that calls himself a Christian out there is a Christian, then you're walking in deception. I'm telling you. You're walking in deception. The Bible said it's a small flock and few be there that find it. It goes on to say that the righteous scarcely make it. And it said, if this is what I've done to my own son that would have no guile in his mouth, and if this is what I've done to him when he was beaten and smitten on the cross of Calvary, and he said, if this is what I've done to my own son, he goes, what more do you think that I will do unto you? Now we're coming to some revelation. Now we're talking about knowing God. I'm telling you, the God of America, I know this might sound a little strong to you, is not the God that I'm serving. I kind of smoothed it off a little bit there. You say, well, that sounded pretty rough. Well, I'm telling you, the God of America, the Jesus that the Catholic Church is preaching and the daughters of the great whore are teaching is not the same God that I serve. My God is Jesus Christ. They use His name. But brothers and sisters, we got to go beyond that and receive the power of His Word. Now, the thing is let's talk about God for a minute. When Paul stood there, I believe at Ephesus, and he said that you're serving an unknown God. And they were all there before him thinking that they were all serving the same God. And he said, your God's an unknown God. It's not the same God. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. I had a Pentecostal woman not long back. She said, oh, you know, the Catholics are my brothers and sisters. I love them all. It's not a matter of loving them. We love them because we want to bring them to the truth. But you cannot have salvation in a Catholic church. There's people in the Catholic church that are saved, yes, but you cannot have salvation in the Catholic church. Because the Bible said, come out of them and be a separate people. The Bible again says if they preach any other doctrine than what Jesus Christ preached, let them be accursed. What is a curse, brothers and sisters? You think that a son of God, a child of God, one that's born of God could be cursed? When he says he's a jealous God, and that there's no other power or there's no other name given among men which thou shalt be saved. And we pray to Mother Mary. I say, I don't do that. They do that. That's an abomination. Mary's a wonderful, wonderful sister. The Bible said that she would be spoken about through all generations. A wonderful, wonderful sister in the Lord. But brothers and sisters, you can't pray to her. You can't speak to her and have her remit sin. There's only one name given among men that thou shalt be saved, and that's Jesus Christ and Him only. He is the way, the truth, and the life. There's no other way unto Him. And when you pray to Saint Christopher for travel mercies, and you pray to this one and that saint, that is an abomination in the eyes of God, and you cannot know Him nor see Him. Now, if that's offend you, I'm sorry. But if you got Catholic friends, you need to love them and teach them and bring them to the truth. They need to come out of the whore, the harlot, the mother of all whores, and that's the Catholic Church. Now, if that's offensive to you, I'm sorry, but let me go on. The Protestant churches now, brothers and sisters, Protestant means to protest. They protested against the Catholic Church. This is what Luther done in the 1600s. He protested against their doctrines. Now, the thing is let me back up. And when we go to about speaking about the Catholic Church here for a moment, the Catholic Church at one time, brothers and sisters, and Catholic means universal church. But they've gone into gross error. And this is what happens is many times the move of God. In 1903, when this outpouring of the Spirit of God came to America over there at Azusa Street, there was a move by the Spirit of God, but they turned it into denominations. We've turned it into the Assemblies of God. We've turned it into Pentecostal and the UPCs and all that. They turned in this move of God into denominations, and the denominations went into error, but the Spirit of God didn't. He said He hasn't given us a spirit of error. And what happens is that many times that it is a move of God and they start a new work, we might say, but then because of turning it into big business and turning it into denominations, they take and they push God out and they bring business in and the deacons and all of them start running the churches and they push God out. It might sound strong to you, but I'm just telling you, brothers and sisters, you need to find the mind of God and the Spirit of the Lord and judge these things for yourself. Ye that are spiritual, judge all things, the Bible says. And you have to make righteous judgments by the power of God and by the Holy Ghost. Amen. If the Bible says that it's few that find it and the righteous scarcely make it in, then we need to consider. And if we just are going to go in and we're thinking that this whole religious order of America is all right with God, then we don't understand the scriptures whatsoever at all. Because again, it's a few be there that find it. We have to stay again with the scriptures. As I said earlier, it's whoever you yield your members to or who you are of. If I took you over to the book of Galatians and I want you to read in the 5th chapter, and I could tell you very clearly what the fruit of the world is in the flesh and of Satan. We could see it. It's drunkenness. It's idolatry, fornication, anger, malice, witchcraft, variances. These are things, brothers and sisters. Guile, evil surmising, backbiting and bickering, all these things, those are fruits of the man and of the flesh and of the devil himself. But what we have to do is cultivate the fruit of the Spirit in our life. We got to let it come alive. We got to have the fruit of the Spirit of God, or we're not part of that tree. We were a wild tree by nature, according to scriptures, grafted in. And when we're grafted in, we got to produce the fruit of that tree. You understand that? And the fruit of that tree is love and joy, peace. There's patience and gentleness and kindness. And you say, well, brother, it don't sound like a very kind message. This is as kind as I know how to be to turn people. The Bible said, you know that the preacher is called of God because he turns people from their sin. There's preachers that need to start standing up against the foolishness of the religious orders in the religious world and the institutions of religion. The most corrupt organization in all of America is the organized church. I'm not speaking against the church of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm talking about organized religion. And the reason it's the most corrupt is because Satan has climbed up, like the Bible says, into the upper lintels. He's climbed up another way, as a thief and a robber. So what we have to do is make godly judgments and judge it for ourselves. If they preach any other word. I was speaking with a man very knowledgeable and had a good spirit about him. But I find people that truly love God and truly have an experience with God, but they are sounding off of the things that they're being taught in the churches. And I was in fellowship with him, talking to him with just for a few minutes, and he made a statement. And I said, brother, that's not scriptural, but it's what he was taught. See, I can challenge you tonight in many things that's in your heart and in your spirit that you think is biblical and it's right, and it's not at all of the Bible. I could call each of you out by name and tell you things in your heart that you think is biblical that isn't. By the power of discernment of your spirit and by the power of the Holy Ghost, I could do that. Many times I spare you. But I'm telling you, there's many times that people think that they have an understanding of the word and it's some kind of a word that's come to them as we read here, but it is without the Holy Ghost. Let me speak in some generalities of the errors of the church, organized churches of America. And they're all preaching the same thing. I'll just speak in some generalities. They teach you that God's three persons. How many of you have heard that? Raise your hand with me if you've ever heard that. I sat under that doctrine for many years. God is three persons. That's a lie to the Word of God in the Scriptures. That's one thing to keep into consideration. Well, what are you, a oneness? No, I'm a Christian. I'm not oneness, I'm not threeness. I'm not two-ness. If I had to line up with one of them, I could say there's more Bible for two-ness doctrine than there is for three-ness doctrine. And I teach Father, Word, and Holy Ghost, body, soul, spirit, natural, physical, spiritual, first, second, third heaven, water, blood, spirit. I teach God as a triune God, but I don't teach him in three persons. That's error. That error came from the Catholic Church. And this is where the corruption, and it went all through him. But he's not three persons. That's one of the errors. As I was speaking with this man, and he says, oh, I can't judge. Or, you know, I can't judge. That's a lie of the devil. If your preacher's teaching you that you can't judge, your preacher needs to get in the Bible and get born again and figure out that ye that are spiritual judge all things, because that's what the Bible says. You show me people that don't make judgments, and I'll show you people that are wrapped up into lasciviousness, and they're walking in deception, and there's deceiving spirits all around about them. Brothers and sisters, we have to make judgments on a daily basis. The Bible says two can't walk together lest they be in agreement, and I better be making some judgments before I walk with you, because if you're walking in sin and lasciviousness and I walk with you, I'm numbered with you and I'm going to be partakers of your sin. So I'm going to be judging you, not by my self-righteousness, not by my own mind, but by the Word of God. I have to do that, because if I walk with you, the Bible says that if this man is partaking of the things of the world and you not even sit down and eat with him, I had to make some kind of a judgment before I could sit down and eat with him. And the Bible said that judgment begins in the house of God. And it says you as the saints of God are even going to judge the angels. And then we got these lukewarm, lascivious preachers that are teaching you that you can't judge. And this is what I told this brother the other day. I said, the only reason your preachers are teaching that because they don't want you to judge them, because they're full of the devil themselves. And you say, Brother Rob, don't speak like that. Well, let's talk about Peter for a moment that preached the very first message. He's the one who preached the very first message. He stood before the people that day and he said, this very Jesus in whom that you crucified. That's what Peter said. Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water. And Jesus said to him, he said, get you behind me, Satan. You savor the things that be of the flesh. Was Peter Satan or what was he? I'm just telling you what the Lord called him. Now think about it. You have to make yourself twain. When you are carnal minded, it's enmity with God, and the carnal mind is death. But we have received the mind of God, the mind of life, the mind of power, the mind of the Spirit. Brothers and sisters, you see, we got to rend the veil between these two minds. And we got to get out of the religious mind. My personal testimony, I mentioned it again the other night. I said my personal testimony on the internet is speaking about being delivered from religious spirits. It's the stronghold in America. I was out preaching the gospel, seeing people saved, seeing people filled with the Holy Ghost, seeing miracles happen and people healed, and I was in deception because there was doctrines of devils that I was indoctrinated in. And one day I got the shucks off my eyes. Brother Paul, he thought that he was doing God a work, seeking after the Christians to put them to death. And he thought he was about the Father's business. He said, hey, if anybody was a Pharisee, I'm the chief of them all. I was in the synagogues daily. Very religious man. And then find that he was persecuting the church of the living God. Brothers and sisters, there's many ministers out there that think they're doing God a service. And they've been to seminary school and theology and all of these things. And they've reasoned the power of the gospel right out. They've got programs on our televisions that are taking the deity and the power and the strength of a living God. They've got one that just came on the other evening and said that they found the bones of our God and our Savior. It makes the Word of God a lie. How can you find the bones of a resurrected God? Brothers and sisters, those are the kind of things that are happening. And the things that are happening on the televisions, and they're just watering things down and saying that Jesus had children. Had a relationship with Mary Magdalene, never recorded in the scriptures. And they say the Catholic Church hid that from you. It's a lie. The Catholic Church has hid a lot of things from you, but that isn't one of them. They've hid a lot of things. You see, brothers and sisters, my ministry isn't to destroy the Catholic Church. Don't misunderstand me, but it is doctrines of devils. The Bible speaks very clearly in 1 Timothy 4. It talks about this witchcraft, and it talks about this move of the Antichrist in the end times. It said they abstain from marriage. They abstain from meat. You say, man, I got Catholic friends that eat meat, but they still abstain from it. They got their days of Lent and different things, and it's wrong. You find that the people that push vegetarian diets, you'll find them wrapped up as a rule in all kinds of witchcraft. Familiar spirits. Are you saying, Brother Rob, if someone's a vegetarian, they're not of God? I didn't say that. I'm just telling you, go look for yourself. And with an understanding, don't go with some kind of critical spirit, but you get around most of the people that are vegetarians, and man, they're into all kinds of mysticism and all kinds of things. Going to a lot of these health food stores, and they got some wild stuff. You know, I believe in the power, brothers and sisters, of healing. I don't have to get some black walnut leaf thing and crumple it up and put it in my tea. I got the Holy Ghost, amen. There ain't nothing wrong with black walnut leaves or whatever it is. I don't know what you think. I'm all for herbs and those things. Praise God. Merry heart doeth good like a medicine. There's some good in some medicines, but I'm not seeking after that. Stay with the Spirit. Stay with God, amen. Now, let's try to sum up some thought here. It sounds like you pretty much wore out all of the churches. Are you the only church that's right? God, I hope not. And I've walked before the living God with fear and trembling because I want to be pleasing before my Lord and my Savior. And I want to press my way into the things of God. I wouldn't want to speak against God's anointed or God's elect. I would not do that. But brothers and sisters, I'm commanded to preach the Word. And when your church has a doctrine that violates the Scriptures. So I spoke of just a couple things so far. Your churches are teaching you, number one, that nobody's perfect. That's a lie. If you believe that, then you can't look at me because I'm perfect. You say, "Oh, preacher, you've really messed up now. I can't believe you said that." Well, I'm just going to tell you what the Bible said, all right? He said that he has perfected us once and for all by his blood and by his works at Calvary. And he said, "Be ye perfect, even as your master in heaven is perfect." And we have to press into perfection. So you think as a man you're perfect? No, I didn't say that. You see, this is why I got to come back and straighten you out. Let me talk to you as a man for a moment. "Oh, wretched man that I am, who's going to deliver me from this body of death?" That's what Brother Paul said. He said, "The life that I now live in this flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God." If you want me to speak to you as a man, I say, "Oh, wretched man that I am. You know, I have a sentence of death. It's appointed unto me to go back to corruption. But I'm not supposed to speak to you as a man. I'm supposed to speak to you as a blood-bought, born-again child of God. That's how I'm supposed to speak to you. So now I'm going to speak to you as a child of God. I've been perfected by the works of Christ, and I've passed from death unto life, and I cannot die." You see, that's what the Bible says. If you pass from death and life, you cannot die. And if they throw you in a box, means that you've gone into sleep. That's what the Bible says. You see, when they came to Lazarus and he was in the tomb and he asked Jesus, and they were weeping before the Lord. And he said, "Oh, he's not dead, he's asleep." And they said, "But Lord, he stinks by now. He's been in there for 4 days. And he stinketh by now." And he said, "No, he's asleep." And they pressed him. He said, "Okay, so be it, he's dead." The Lord knew what he was saying the first time. You see, if your family members that have been born of God have gone on before, they're not dead. They're asleep. Because we pass from death unto life. Now, if you don't understand that, let me tell you, there's people that's got breath going in and out their nostrils. And they're walking the streets of America. And they're dead. You say, "Preacher, you got things all messed up." No, preacher ain't got nothing messed up. I'm telling you what the Bible says. The Bible said some are twice dead, plucked up by the roots while they still yet live. You see, we got to get into the Word of God and understand the Word. I'm just challenging you to get into the Word and get a relationship with God and start understanding the Scriptures and get out of your religious playing games. And, "Oh, I said the sinner's prayer when I was 15 years old. I got sprinkled with some water." You know, so what? You just got maybe a wet dog after that. You need to get born again and filled up with the Holy Ghost and the power of salvation and come out of the world. That's what you got to do. Then you get somebody's attention, amen, because you're walking in the Spirit. I'm going to lay some things out here and just challenge you in your thought. I like to challenge people in the Word of God and to stay with the Word. Amen. So let's talk about the Word a moment. So we're talking about doctrines that I hear. If I could turn on the radios or turn on the televisions and I hear these preachers, they're all saying the same thing. And pretty soon they quit seeking after God for wisdom and enlightenment and understanding in His Word. And they go to schools and seminary schools and they're all taught the same thing. And they're teaching the same thing. See, I was guilty of that, brothers and sisters. When I gave my life to the Lord, I had a hunger and thirst after the Word and righteousness, but I got to walking among men. There's nothing wrong with that. We find them here. They said, "Follow us." I'm not ashamed to tell people to follow me because I know where I'm going. I'm walking with the Lord Jesus Christ on a daily basis. And I got my hand in the nail-scarred hand of Jesus. And I say, "Hey, follow me if you want to know how to get to heaven, because that's where I live and that's where I dwell. And I'm walking in the light of that city." Amen. I'm not ashamed to say that. Paul said, "Follow me." And you say, "But he said also, as I follow Christ." He did say that in some of the Scriptures, but he also, at other times, he said, "Hey, follow me. I'm one with the Lord. I've been born again. I'm bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh." So we're just brought up a couple things. The church teaches you that you're not perfect. The church teaches you that God is three persons. Now, these are doctrines of error. The church teaches you that you're a sinner and that you sin every day. How many of you have heard that? And you say, "Well, Brother Rob, that's what we are." Well, if you're a sinner and you sin every day, let me invite you to get born again. Because the Bible said, "Ye that are born of God cannot sin, because his seed remaineth in you." Go read it for yourself in 1 John the 3rd chapter. But it also says that if you say you have not sinned, that you're a liar and deceive yourself. I didn't say I hadn't sinned. I was born as a sinner with a sentence of death. I'm not deceived. But I know who I am in Christ. And I know that he said he put my sins as far as the east is from the west. And I know that he doesn't hear a sinner's prayer. And if I'm a sinner, he's not hearing my prayer. But I know I have this place with God that I could enter boldly to the throne of grace, amen, by faith in God. And that his ears are open to my prayers. Why? Because I'm no longer a sinner. I am now a saint of God. I've been born again. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. Amen. I tell you, that's awesome, isn't it? Amen. I was a sinner. I'm no longer a sinner. The Bible said, "Ye that sin are of the devil." So if a preacher's telling you that you're a sinner and sin every day, he's also telling you that you are of the devil. I can't tell you that. I'm called to get you out of the world, to change your mind and to think like Jesus. He said, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, that thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Oh, but how could I be equal with God? By being bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And he said, he'll make you joint heirs with him. I'm just preaching the gospel, brothers and sisters. Come on, man. This is the word. We need to get in the word and get out of religious doctrine. It destroys us. We got to know who we are. We so oftentimes walk so below the potentials that God has given us to walk in. We need to know who we are in Christ. I thank God that being full of the Holy Ghost is more than speaking in tongues. And I'm a tongue talker. So we come to find out that many times we're being taught that we're sinners and we sin every day. And we got to say, well, no, I'm a saint. I've been born again. I've been filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm no longer a sinner. I'm now a blood-bought, born-again child of God, a new creature. I used to be a sinner. We can't keep confessing on things. The Bible said, confess those things that are not as if they are. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So brothers and sisters, the world isn't going to know you as a son of God because they don't have eyes to see. But the Bible says that you already are. He said that now we are the sons of God. What do you think you're born into? When you're born again, you're not born as a man. You're born as a child of God. That's the eternal quickening spirit. The Bible said that the first man, Adam, was a living soul, but the second one was a quickening spirit. And when you're born of God, that's what you are. It's a quickening spirit, and he has quickened you and caught you up to the throne of God. Amen. That's in the spirit. We're dwelling in heavenly places. That's what the Bible says. Oh, but where's heaven at? Where is heaven? You know, it's not a planet out there. Oh, but Jesus went off with his nail bags and he's building us a mansion over there in heaven. I know that's what he's doing. He's over there building that. You probably believe in the Easter Bunny too. And Santa Claus. Oh, but Brother Rob, that's the Bible. I understand the Bible, brothers and sisters. But you know, the thing that I'm mocking is he didn't go with a set of nail bags. The mansions that God is preparing is right here. We are the temple of God, brothers and sisters. And the way that he went to prepare by shedding his blood and taking the sacrifice, brothers and sisters, that he could fill us with the power of the Holy Ghost. That is the mansion that was prepared for him to dwell in, amen, because we're the temple of the living God. You see, we got to get out of these thoughts. I told somebody one day, I said, your envision of heaven, man, just turns me off. I mean, I'm telling you, people really don't have concepts of heaven. They got little fat angels floating around naked with diapers on playing violins. Oh boy, I'm in heaven. I mean, what, you know, that's not heaven. You see, I'm mocking the things of the world and the thoughts of the world and the way people think about God. Everybody thinks that God is just some, I'm telling you, the God that the people of America are serving is foolish. Their God is foolish God. My God's not that way. Let me speak to you for just a moment about a man and a wife. And maybe we could end that, understand God a little bit. Now, if you are a virtuous man and you love God, and your wife is a harlot, and she's off giving herself to other men on a daily basis, and you say, oh, honey, I love you. Oh, I want you home, and you keep receiving her in and receive her in. What does the Bible say that man is? It says that he's a whore. That's what the Bible says, right? Well, let me tell you the doctrine that is being preached about our God and our Savior. If it was true, it makes him a whore. Now, that sounds harsh. And my God is nothing to even be compared to what I just said. My God is pure, clean, righteous, and holy. He is all purity, all righteousness, and all holiness. But I'm saying that the doctrines that they make, the Bible said when they turn and go back into the world, it was to be made manifest they was never of you. They were never born of God. The doctrine of backsliding that is taught in the churches is another doctrine of error. Because my Bible said that he never lost a one. And when you think that you could be saved and all of a sudden just go back in the world and now you're backslid, that is not Bible. The Bible said when they go back, it was to be made manifest they was never of you or of him. We got to stay with the word, brothers and sisters. If he never lost a one, when you're truly filled with the Holy Ghost and the power of God, you are sealed in and there's no devil of hell, no principality, no power, and nothing could pluck you out of the hands of God. So you don't believe a person could fall away? People fall away every day. But I'm telling you, it was to be made known that they was never of him. But some stood before the Lord and said, but God, I prophesied in your name. I cast out devils in your name. And what did he say? I never knew you, you worker of iniquity. Depart from me. And it said they were cast into the lake of fire. We're just trying to enlighten you this evening with the word. My purpose here is to challenge you in the scriptures. My purpose is for you to do as the Bereans and get in the Bible and study yourself to show themselves approved. There's too many things that we stand on and we think it's Bible and we come to find out it's not. There's too many things, brothers and sisters. We have to make judgments. These are some of the things I pointed out tonight. We have to. Ye that are spiritual, judge all things. And when you're taught you can't judge, it's going to cause problems in your life. It's a lie from the devil. When you're taught the doctrine of backsliding, it's not the doctrine of the gospel, of the New Testament at all. Jesus, the doctrine of him, said he's married unto the backslider and he's healed their backsliding. You cannot be pulled away. You cannot be plucked out of the hand of God. So you believe in eternal security? Yes, I do, but not the way some of them teach it. I don't teach it like John Calvin taught it. I believe that whoever you yield your members to is who you are of. And if you yield your members to the devil or to the world, and you're involved in the worldly things and the worldly pleasures and the worldly lust, and you could say, I'm a Christian, I've accepted Jesus as my Savior, I believe in eternal security, and I say you're deceived and you're lost and you're on your way to hell. When you are full of the Holy Ghost and the power of God, you have the power to come out of the world. You have the power to walk in righteousness and holiness. You have the power to keep yourself unspotted from this world. Amen. Now, I'll tell you this, that you may stumble and you may stagger and you may fall, but blessed is the man who God does not impute sin. Amen. And we get back up and we press our way in. Yes, we make mistakes as men, but we do not have a spirit of error, the Bible says. There's a difference. Now, when we think that we're going to go out and party and drink and snort and smoke and lie and cheat, and we're going to come to every revival meeting and the preacher preaches like a ball of fire and we come back into the altars and we get saved and we get saved and we get saved, that is not scriptural doctrine. Well, what do we have revivals for? To stir up that purity within you, that you could stir up those things within and get zealous for the things of God. But we don't get born again and born again. My child, brothers and sisters, may walk in the ways of the world, but it doesn't change the fact that he's my child. I may be displeased with my son or daughter or whatever. It doesn't make him not my child. And you may be a child of God and truly born again. And it's not that you're unborn and then you're born and you're unborn. The thing is the Bible says that he chastens them that he loves. Now, if you're a child of God and you walk in disobedience, John the Baptist said, he said, I'm not worthy to unlatch his shoes, to unbuckle them. But he said he'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And let me tell you something. When you are a child of God and you go off into the things of the world, and if you are a child of God, he is going to bring that purging, cleansing fire of the Holy Ghost, and he's going to burn the impure things out of your life. And you'll come in by chastening and by discipline and by suffering. The Bible says that obedience is better than sacrifice. And you say, preacher, I believe that Jesus done all the suffering for me. And I say he did. But I'm going to tell you this, that he did not suffer for your willful sin, or it makes his word a lie. Read it for yourself again in Hebrews 6 and Hebrews 10. It's not for willful sin. The Bible says that when you know to do right and you don't, there remaineth no more sacrifice. And that the blood of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, will not atone for that sin. That's what the Bible says. So then, if we just keep bringing you into the altars and you keep living like a dog in the world and you keep bringing them in the altars and they keep living like a dog in the world and you keep bringing them in the altars, then you're no different than the Catholic Church in their confession booth. Well, what do we do, Rob? What do we do, brother? We get them filled up with the Holy Ghost and the power and the demonstration of the Spirit of God. That's what we do. Brothers and sisters, we're inexcusable. We're not weak. If you're weak, say that you're strong. We need to get out of this lukewarm, lascivious, Laodicean day doctrines, and we need to get filled up with the power of God, and we need to start walking in the Spirit of God. Amen. That's what we need to do. You love the Lord tonight? You say, man, Brother Rob, you know, those are some strong exhortations. No, it's the Word, brothers and sisters. We need to walk in the Word. We need to know who we are. We need to quit stumbling and staggering around and walking below our privileges and our callings. The Bible said many are called, but few are chosen. Why aren't they chosen? Because they're not walking in the demonstration and the power of the Holy Ghost. You see, the power of God, brothers and sisters, will bring you out. It'll bring you out. In closing thoughts, the Bible teaches us very clearly that in the end times, men will wax worse and worse, and this gross darkness will infiltrate the world. And when this darkness is coming, that means the light is pulling away. We are the light of the world, brothers and sisters, and light eradicates darkness. The things that I'm teaching you is the light of God's Word, and it eradicates the darkness of your first birth. The Bible teaches us very clearly that light being formed within the darkness, and the darkness is your intellectual mind. The darkness is you in your first birth. That part is not going to be saved. That part is going to die. That's where you need to get your doctrines in order. The Bible said that one must die that the other one could live. It says if you seek to save your life, you'll lose it. But if you would take and lose your life, then it would save it. You see, you can't think like man no longer. You've got to think like God. That's why he again said, let that mind be in you that was also in Christ. And God's ways is not man's ways. There's so many things, if I had time this evening, that I could go in and expose the doctrines of America's gospel that are error. You see, brothers and sisters, it's not that I'm trying to find fault with them, but I've got to expose the work of darkness. We're in a gross day of darkness, and we have to come to the revelation and the understanding of the Word. Just because we could point out the errors of the people or of the churches doesn't make us better. That's not the purpose that I'm trying to do here. I'm trying to make sure that we're not walking in deception or in doctrines of devils. We got to stay with the Bible. I challenge people on a daily basis. I challenge them to stay with the Word and stay with the Word. I spoke with a Baptist man not many months back, and he said, I don't care what you believe. He said, this is what I believe. I've been a Baptist for 52 years. And he said, this is the way I believe. And I said, sir, if I could show you what you just said to me in the scriptures and show you that it's there, would you change? And he said, no. See, this is a mindset, brothers and sisters. The Baptist church can't save you. The Methodist church, the Catholic church, the Pentecostal church. There's only one Savior and his name is Jesus. And that's what I am called to preach. I'm called in defense of his Word. I'm not called to defend any denomination. I'm called to defend God's Word. Now, the thing is, brothers and sisters, if I could say, well, I think you should go to a Baptist church because they got good doctrine there. But the Baptists aren't in agreement with each other. That's why we got the First Baptist, the Second Baptist, the Southern Baptist, and we got the Free Will Baptist and the Backslid Baptist. We got every kind of Baptist out there. It's because they're not in agreement. The Bible said that we need to walk in agreement one with another and not pierce each other through. Amen. We need, brothers and sisters, to walk in agreement in the Spirit. But I cannot compromise God's Word to walk with people. Amen. There's a difference. So I'm not against the denominational churches. You say, sounds like it. I'm against the doctrines, brothers and sisters, because again, if we preach any other doctrine than what Jesus Christ preached, let them be accursed, it says. So if they're preaching a doctrine that is different, then we have to come and teach the Word of God. God is not three persons. Father, Word, and Holy Ghost. You're a body, soul, spirit. You're not three persons. The word person comes from the word personification. The Bible said that Jesus is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That's the only personification of the Godhead. When Philip came and asked Peter in John 14, he said to Jesus, not Peter, Philip, he said, when will we see the Father? What did Jesus say? I and the Father are one. How can you say you have not seen the Father when I've been with you so long? The Bible said that the Father is invisible, that no man has seen. But the invisible things of God came and manifested themselves in the fullness of Jesus. Jesus is God. The Bible said, Emmanuel, God with us. The Bible said that all things were created by Jesus. All powers, all principalities, all dominions, all things visible and all things invisible. The Bible said were created by Jesus, and it said that he was there in the beginning and before the beginning. He had no beginning. He had no end. So when you try to put this Godhead into your carnal, finite, manly, humanistic understanding, you're going to be talking in deception and not in the ways of God. Jesus did not have a beginning 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem. The Bible said he had no beginning. Jesus' mother was not Mary. Now we got to make him twain between Son of Man and Son of God. The Son of Man had a mother named Mary. The Son of Man was smitten on the cross of Calvary. He said he made himself twain, both Lord and Christ. God did not die on the cross of Calvary. God is the Prince of Life. He cannot die. So don't get into Catholicism and Catholic doctrine. Our Bible does not teach us that. There's a difference between the Son of Man and the Son of God. He made himself twain. Now, if I speak to you as a man, and I speak as a child of God, I blaspheme against God. I've got to ring the bell between the Lord and the Christ. I know I was born as a sinner, but I'm speaking to you as a born-again child of God. I cannot sin. You have to learn to ring the bell between the Lord and the Christ, between the Son of Man and the Son of God. And we're commanded to speak to one another as spirituals, not carnal. The carnal mind is death. So when we go to talk about our God and our Savior, we have to rend the veil between the Lord and the Christ. And when you learn to do that, then you can learn to understand the Scriptures and the Word of God. I was born in 1958. My dad was born in 1927, my wife in 57. Whatever, you know, but you say, well, that was at your beginning, brother. No, I'm trying to get you to think different. That was not my beginning. Jesus' beginning was not 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem. He had no beginning, and he has no end. Where were you when the sons of God leaped for joy before the world ever was? He said he put my name down in the book of life before the foundation of this world. He saved me when I was yet still in my sin. You might have said the sinner's prayer last year, last month, or 5 years ago. You say, well, I know one thing for sure, preacher, that Jesus was crucified for me 2,000 years ago. And I said, there you go, you're still in error. The Bible said that he was crucified before this world ever was and before the foundation of this world. You see, I'm saying these things to challenge the way you think. Yes, he was crucified 2,000 years ago, but that was the manifestation of something that was done in the Spirit. You see, this is why you have to think in the Spirit. You think like a natural man. You think in carnal mind. You think with what you can see. And your eyes deceive you. Jesus said, though you have eyes to see, you cannot see. And though you have ears to hear, you cannot hear. I'm trying to get you away from depending on what you hear with these ears and what you see with your eyes and get into the Spirit. Jesus said, blessed is the man that could believe without seeing. Brothers and sisters, you need to start getting in the Word and staying with the Word. I'm not trying to confuse nobody. Confusion's of the devil. I'm trying to challenge you to get in the Word and know God and get out of your religious vomit. I'll tell you, there's nothing more disgusting in all of the world than a religious person. There ain't anything more disgusting than that. And you say, Brother Rob, you're not religious? Not the religion I'm talking about. The Bible said true and undefiled religion is such as taking care of the widows and the orphans and keeping yourself unspotted from the world. The religion I'm talking about is in the world, they're of the world. They bring their rock and roll music into the church. They got their men with long hair on their platforms. Oh, now you're judging. Amen, I'm judging. That's what I'm called to do. Judgment, the Bible said, begins in the house of God. The Bible said it's a shame for a man to have long hair. Oh, but Jesus had long hair and they took that shameful image to the cross and smited it on the cross of Calvary because it was the image of sin, the Bible says. And he smitten it on the cross of Calvary and it went into hell and it resurrected in a new form as a new creature and he wasn't even recognized by the people he walked with every day. It said that the only way they knew him is their hearts burned within them. When he resurrected, he didn't have long hair. You see, you need to understand some things. Brothers and sisters, I could keep you here all night discussing the Word of God and the things of God and challenging you into a deeper walk with Him. I love you. I want to encourage you in the gospel, but I'm challenging you and trying to tear down some of your religious ideologies. You see, ideology, brothers and sisters, people build a whole religious world of ideas. Oh, this is the way I think God is. Oh, God loves everybody. He would never put nobody in hell. You're exactly right. And he wouldn't. Hell wasn't made for man, he said. Hell was made for those fallen spirits. But when you marry unto those fallen spirits, the Bible again says, whoever you yield your members to or who you are of. And when you yield your members over to the spirit of the devil, then you're one with the devil. And the Bible said your father is the devil. But I've got a spirit crying within me saying, Abba, Father. You see, challenge yourselves. The Bible said, challenge yourself and see if you be in the faith. Have you challenged yourself? Have you considered? Have you considered your own ways? Brothers and sisters, go to the Word. Stay with the Word. If you can show me somebody in the name of the Lord Jesus, if I've violated the Scriptures in one place tonight, I say, please, in the name of the Lord, come to me with the love of God and say, brother, and let's get in the Bible. Let's get in the Word. You see, I've said a lot of controversial things tonight. The Bible says man's ways are not God's ways. The Bible says that the things of man are contrary to the things of God. And see, I've spoke the religion of men, and it's controversial to the religion of God or the things of God, to the Spirit of God. And the thing is, if you're challenged by the ministry of the gospel to consider yourself and see if you be in the faith and see if what you're believing and standing on is the Word, the thing is I could take you and show you in the Bible, it's not controversial or they're not contrary because I understand the Word. But in 1 John 1, again it says, if you say you have no sin, you're a liar and deceive yourself. Now listen to me closely. Listen to me. I want you to listen to me. I have no sin. And you say, you just told us the Bible says you're a liar, Brother Rob. Oh, wait a minute now. See, I'm going to help you out again here. You want me to speak to you as a man again? I am a sinner. I was born into sin. I had need of a Savior. I was lost on my way to hell, predestined into eternal damnation as a man. But I came to the knowledge of the truth, and I come to know about my God and my Savior, Jesus Christ, that He came and died and shed His blood for me, that I could have life eternal and abundant. And He gave me everything that pertains unto life. And I believe that. So now I have been crucified with Christ, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. That's what Brother Paul said in Galatians, the second chapter. He said it. God's no respecter of person. And that's what I say. I pass from death unto life. That man, Rob Coons, has been crucified with Christ. And he no longer lives. And now it's Christ that lives. Amen. And that is eternal. And it's heavenly. And I am living forever and ever. Because I am more than a conqueror. What have I conquered? Death, hell, and the grave. I cannot die. You see? Oh, but preacher, you're really deceived. I'm telling you what the Word says, and I believe it. What happens if they throw you in a box? It would be considered asleep to a saint of God. That's what Jesus said. It said, your forefathers that have gone on to sleep. That's what the Bible says. They don't talk about your forefathers that died. That means that Jesus isn't the Prince of Life. And when He said that we pass from death unto life, it make His Word a lie. So you see, you got to get out of your thinking again. You got to get into the Word of God. You see, there's a breath of life. That's temporal, but there's a spirit of life that's eternal. It's differentiating between life. It's differentiating, as we said in the Word. We got to differentiate between the letter of the law that killeth, and we got to differentiate between the spirit of the Word. Which one do you have? If you just have an intellectual concept of the Scriptures and you went through your little catechisms or your little Scripture memorization, which Scripture memorization is a great thing, but if it hasn't become spirit to you, you can quote the Word like the Bible said, you confess with your mouth, but your heart is far from me. You see, your heart's not far from him when you're in the Spirit, because your spirit's one with him and walking with him. Let's stand together. There's no closing the service like this, brothers and sisters. And you say, well, let's sum it up. There's no summing it up, brothers and sisters. There's no end to this that I'm speaking to you about tonight. We can go on and on, and I have the strength in me. I could stand here with you all night long, reasoning with you in the Scriptures and the Word. We need to get in the Word. You see, if I'm not challenging you in what you know, then what good am I as a teacher? If when you was in fourth grade and you come to the understanding of multiplication, and the teachers never challenged you and more, you would never go any farther. It would be easy for you to come to church tonight, and I tell you what you already know. Oh, let me tell you about Jesus who died for us, who shed His blood for us. You know that He come and died and shed His blood, that we can have life? Let me tell you that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, you know that you could be saved. And I say, and amen, amen, amen. But the Bible commands me not to even speak about that. You say, surely not, Brother Rob. I love to talk about the need of being born again. I love to speak about that. But the Bible said, commands me not laying the foundation of repentance over and over and over again. Once you've come to that knowledge and know that Jesus died for you and shed His blood and you need a Savior, then I'm supposed to go on from that. The Bible commands me to go into the doctrine of baptisms. Baptisms. Bible said there's one faith, one God, and one baptism. But it said to go into the doctrines of baptisms, but there's only one. But there's a water, there's a blood, and a spirit baptism. And then we break the one baptism that the Bible says there's one God, one faith, one baptism. We break the one God down into water, blood, spirit, or Father, Word, Holy Ghost. We break the one baptism down into a baptism of water, a baptism of blood, and a baptism of spirit. The thing is, brothers and sisters, is we have to get into the Word and stay in this Word. Differentiate this Word. Understand this Word. There's time to gird up your loins like men and grow up in the gospel and the things of God. We can't continue being babies in Christ and call, oh, I'm just a baby. I had a preacher stand face to face with him. He says, man, you know, Paul did make the statement. He said, I declare to know nothing except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Can I take that and build a church on that? No! It's line upon line and precept upon precept. I can't just say, oh, I declare to know nothing except Jesus and Him crucified. The Bible commands me to get into the Word. It commands me to dig into the Word and let the deep call unto the deep. You know, we got to get into the Bible. Then we're not moved by every wind of doctrine. How can you know if you're walking in false doctrine unless you get into the Scriptures? How do you know that you're not deceived unless? But the Bible said that it's impossible to deceive God's elect. And I say, yea and amen. If you're God's elect, He'll bring you out of deception. You know how He'll do it? He'll send a preacher like the one talking to you tonight that's going to start exposing the foolishness of religion. That's what the Bible said. You know that they're called of God because they turn people away from their sin. And when you're in doctrines that are not scriptural to the Word of God, it would be imputed to you as sin until you come out of it. Salvation is not in the world. Salvation is out of the world. There's no, as again I said, drunkards. The Bible said no drunkard will inherit the kingdom of God. If you're a drunkard, you're not going to get saved in your drunkenness. You're going to come out of it. And He'll give you the power to come out of it. He'll clean you up. He'll get the old stench of the vomit off your breath. As you're rolling the bubble in the vomit, He'll get it off of you. That's the power of the gospel. You understand what I'm saying? He'll bring you out of adultery. He'll bring you out of fornication. He'll bring you out of all lasciviousness. He'll bring you out of murmuring and complaining. And He'll bring you out of bitterness and anger and malice and deceit. Because we're serving an awesome God. He'll give you a joy that surpasses all understanding. Brothers and sisters, He'll give you a peace. I'm telling you, a peace, brothers and sisters, that's so awesome. You can't be deceived when you're God's elect. People come to this message sometime and it scares them a little bit. It's like, my, I've never heard them things. It's the Bible. It's the Scriptures. You've never really got into the Word. You've read it with blinded eyes and the shuck's been on your eyes. We're talking about baptisms. I'm commanded to teach you the doctrine of baptism. And your preachers take you down to the water hole and baptize you in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Like it says in Matthew 28:19, but that's false doctrine when they baptize you in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. The disciples didn't do it that way when Jesus said that. Jesus said, go into all the world baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. You don't take them down to the water hole and say, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. You better know what that name is. It's Jesus. Jesus said, I came in my Father's name. Didn't He say that? So what is the Father's name? It's Jesus. Oh, no, it's Jehovah. That's a title. I'm a father. Dave's a father. You know, you're a father. There's no power and authority in the name Father. The power and authority is in the name Jesus. There's no other name given among men that thou shalt be saved. And when you baptize somebody like the disciples did it, they baptized them in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. That's why I say it's commanded of me to preach the doctrine of baptisms. I was talking about exposing the ears of the church. You know why the Protestant churches are baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? It's because they're part of the Catholic Church. The Bible teaches they'll return to the daughters of the whore will return unto her. And that's why they're doing it. But let me tell you, don't be ashamed of the name Jesus. What's funny is you say, well, the only way my prayers could be answered is say in Jesus' name. Oh God, I come to you boldly to the throne of grace in the name of Jesus. Amen. If you cast out devils, you do it in the name of Jesus. If you pray for the sick, you lay hands on them in the name of Jesus. But what's more important than all that is the remission of sin. And they go and do it in the name of title, Father and Son. I'm a father and a son. There's no power, no authority in that. But there's authority in the name of Jesus. Every devil will tremble under the name Jesus. Amen. And we shouldn't be ashamed of that name. You see, it's doctrines of devils that turn people away from the Word of God. Challenge you in the name of Jesus. You show me where somebody was baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, in the name of the titles. You go into Scriptures in the book of Acts and it was fulfilled. They baptized every one of them in the name of Jesus Christ. That's the name with all authority and all power. We can go on and on and on and on tonight. There's no end to the thanks of God. Let's sing together. Hallelujah. The altars are open tonight. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your God and your Savior, He's here tonight. I'm not waiting on His coming. The Bible said two or three gather in His name, He's in the midst. He's here. Hallelujah. Amen. He's with us. The Bible said He's in us and He's through us. Hallelujah. Amen. He's here tonight. Let's sing it again. Hallelujah. That's an awesome name. Do you love Jesus tonight? Is Jesus your God? Is He your salvation? Is He your Savior? Is He your healer? Is He your Redeemer? Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. He's my all. Thank you, Lord.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org. Or you may write us at Christian Temple, P.O. Box 735, High Point, North Carolina, 27261. We, the brothers and sisters at Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come and worship with us. Our services are on Sunday morning at 10 a.m., Wednesday night at 7 p.m., and we also have a Friday night service at 7 p.m. We are located at 304 Green Oak Drive, just off Highway 62 in Archdale. Thanks again, and may God richly bless you.